Let's do it. Let's do another one. Let's get to it.
Loitering in Wonderland, Westworld Review.
Hello, citizens. Welcome to Violent Ends, LAW Westworld Review, episode 41. For Beyond Westworld 103, Sound of Terror, only three left to go. It feels like an eternity doing this show. Although watching them wasn't that bad, but I also spaced it out over like 2 weeks for five episodes because I had to, because I was going crazy and had other shit to do. Yeah, let's get to this. Sound of Terror, it's our musical episode because every show of this era had to have a musical one and then a race car one. And we're doing back-to-back here. They're getting right out of the way. What the hell is the rest of this season or series going to be if they're doing these already? Man, oh man, oh man. The band that we hear in the beginning, I'm going to play it. It's called Power and Ruth because it's someone named Power. I'm trying to find the names. Yeah, Rene Aubergineau. I forgot how to pronounce his name. Aubergineau is, I didn't recognize him at first, but he plays Power and his wife's name is Ruth. Ruth Avery, Ronnie Blakely. But here's the band. They're playing at like a nuclear power plant. Another anti-nuclear power plant concert protest thing. Here it is. This is a huge band, according to this episode. Power and Ruth, no for nukes. Renee on keyboard. They have a tambourine player. She looks like a, God damn it, what is her name? Can't think of it. Moving on. John and Pamela, there's the concert and then they leave. Blah, blah, blah. John and Pamela, I didn't watch this episode before I started this, so because I didn't want to anymore. I wanted to get these done. They see a hole in the fence. So they decide, I wrote down home and fence, so that's why I was confused. And they decide to go after the band for some fucking reason. This is the flimsiest beginning to the episode, to an episode of this series, so far and of all time, out of the five. Because all time is including just five episodes. And I was like, at this point, I'm like, did Pamela replace Laura? Is Laura coming back? And I looked up, Laura's only in the pilot, and that's it. She's only in the first episode, never again see her. So this is me coming to terms with that. Again, my notes are real time. I don't go back and edit them. John is backstage. John Moore is backstage. And he's talking to the band members. And I know you can't see it, but this band has 52 members. They're like the goddamn, I was going to say Blues Travelers, but I'm trying to think of the, what is that goddamn guy's name? The Crash Into Me. That guy. He has like 100 members up there. Just people doing random shit, like stuff you can't even hear over anything else. Why can't I think of that? Dave Matthews Band. Good God. Oh, man. This is when I'm starting to realize that's Rene Aubergineau. John finds an empty canister. He finds empty canisters of uranium. One of the 52 band members is a robot. Dun, dun, dun. Commercial break. Ready? We get back. Ruth is yelling. I wrote down singer, but I found out later her name is Ruth. I didn't know their name was called Power and Ruth until I started the episode over. She yells at Renee for being a thrill seeker, for Power for being a thrill seeker. She's like, why can't we settle down and just calm down? Like, I don't want to go paragliding and hang gliding and sky jumping and, you know, I'm sick of doing snuff films in the Middle East. I don't want to go to Eastern Europe and hit people with hammers and do it on the dark web. Like, can't we just sit home and raise a family and calm down a bit? And he's like, fuck off, bitch. No. My hammer's hungry. I need to feed it blood. Blood of the innocent. And John Moore's like, okay. And this is when I was looking up the main cast of the show, and I'm like, oh, they're all dead. Except for Pamela. They're all dead. Everyone, it feels like. This episode does have Dirk Blocker, which sounds like Dick Blocker, which makes me think of cock blocking. But it's Dirk Blocker, and he's from Reno, No, he's not from Reno. He's from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I got my number shows confused with the nine in it. He's from that. He's funny on that show. But I didn't really recognize him in this, so I can't really speak to him. But I thought I'd still write it down because it did catch my eye when I was looking on IMDb. This episode was also directed by Paul Stanley, but not that one. Instead, it's directed by someone with talent, not the guy from Kiss. It's not him. I see how it would be confusing, but no. This episode sucks, but it was better than the last episode. And since I liked it a little bit, there's no way Paul Stanley of Kiss could have been involved. The singer, Ruth, she does a show in a field for some kids, and I want to play that music because her singing is... Oh, here it is. I found it. I can't believe I found it, but I did.
But I can't have you, my mama lied. No, I can't have you, mama lied.
These kids are so confused.
I can't have you, my mama lied. I can't have you. No, I tried and tried. I can't have you, my mama lied. I can't have you, my mama lied. I can't have you, my mama lied.
I want to pause here. Because if you've seen this one or need to, pause right here because John is wearing a cowboy shirt with the horseshoe on the top left, and right on his shoulder. And then he's wearing, it's buttoned up, it's brown, like light brown, not a tan, I guess I'll say. Holding a jacket over his sweater, or over his other shoulder, a brown jacket. And he's got his hand tucked into his jeans with a giant country belt buckle. And he's got a purple neckerchief tied around his neck. And he's just like, yep, good day to hang out in the park and listen to some kids' music for a song that's not for kids, but being screamed at them by country Janis Joplin over here. What the fuck is that, lady? Yeah, it's the fucking terrible. It's so bad. And she's like, we can't let anyone else in the band or the tabloids know about this. Or maybe she says the band does know. It doesn't fucking matter. But she's like, I don't want anyone to know. I'm like, who in the media gives a shit about you? She's not the worst singer, but that was a terrible song. Why are you talking about someone trying to fuck a dude, but the mama... How did the mama lie that interferes with you being able to hook up with this dude or be with him? Did she say he didn't love? I don't. Maybe I didn't know the rest of the lyrics, which I'm not getting. I'm not getting the context of the song. But one of the kids here on the right side right now is staring at John or one of the nuns coming up. It's just like, please, something else. Oh, the nun's coming. Yay. She'll be fun. She'll talk about Jesus instead of mama's lying and. A forlorn romance that I'll never understand, or at least for another decade. Yay, the nun holding candy. It's the weirdest fucking scene. That's why I wanted to pause and just go over this, because it is bizarre. Like, what is... There's no parents around. It's just a nun and a guy in a checkered shirt and green pants. Like, what is happening? Why are these two people with the kids? Did they abduct the children, and this is their torture? Make them listen to Ruth of Power and Ruth? Sorry, Power couldn't make it. Oh, man. Roberta, the nipple robot, is watching more. Quaid is watching Roberta, the nipple robot, watching more on the TV. He's watching Beyond Westworld with us. Pamela's going door to door in the hotel with a Geiger counter looking for the empty canisters of uranium from before. She's like checking every single fucking door. And then we find out that the singer's mustache friend is in on it too, because earlier I didn't even mention it. The singer's mustache friend comes out. Ruth's mustache friend comes and starts flirting with Ruth, and that pisses off Renee. So he leaves. That's right after they have their little argument. But we find out the mustache guy's in on it too. Quaid is trying to sell the bomb to a dictator, and he wants to work for the dictator by, like, my robots will help keep you in power. And I'll let you know what's going to happen before it happens. And so his main goal on this one is to work for a dictator. And instead of just replacing him, which the dictator's like, how about, why wouldn't you just? He's like, I don't want to do that. It's like, makes more sense, really, to do that. Because that's the plot of the fifth episode right away. But if had he done that now, he would have got away with everything. Oh, man, whatever. Moore finds a bug on his lapel, and he's, like, talking into it. And he's like, yeah, you're going to find – I'm going to find you before you find me. And here I'm your fuck now. Ha, ha, ha. And the mustache man is watching him. Ruth runs in and saves him. And then it gets to a freeze frame commercial break. I don't know. What was the mustache? The mustache man was going to fucking molest him in the back of a van. Like, that dude was creepy as shit. I don't know what he's going to do to him. Okay. I wrote down mustache man is human. So he was at working for him, but he's human. And we find out that Ruth is preggers because she gets hurt and has to go to the hospital. And, of course, the doctor just tells John Moore that because the Hippocratic Oath and OSHA weren't invented yet, apparently. Just tells her.
Take a look at the body.
She was pregnant, didn't you?
What about Ryder?
To here.
I've seen people.
The young man was dead before he hit the ground. That must have come as quite a surprise.
He's just meeting him for the first time.
Are you the father?
She's having a baby?
Well, you did know she was pregnant, didn't you?
What about Ryder?
He immediately, I don't give a fuck about Ruth. What about the guy we put in here, the mustache man? Ends up being the guy with the heart glasses. And every other episode, it's the most obvious person that you think it's going to be. It's them. But in this case, we didn't really meet this fucking guy. Like, he's off to the side. I don't think he even speaks until late. Like, I don't know if he speaks at all, honestly. We haven't met him. But then he attacks Ruth and Pamela. And I don't remember how that ends because I didn't write it down. So I guess it doesn't fucking matter. Where am I? It's right here. It's in the hotel. Who fucking cares? And then the last scene I have is Moore gets on a 1970s plane with them. With the singer or the musician guy. And then he gets in a fight with them. In other episodes, he kills the robots with water. And the last episode was nothing. He kicks him in the back. Oh, electricity on top of the roof. I forgot about that. So, like, things that you think would kill a robot. In this one, he immobilizes the robot by taking off his heart-shaped sunglasses. Because once he takes them off, the robot's like, dude, no idea. Fucking what's going on? Ah, where is everyone? Oh, my God. And then Moore opens the plane, and the robot slowly falls out of it, and then he blows up. He takes a good 5 minutes, though, to fall out the plane. He's just holding on to his boot, John Moore's boot. There he goes. He's falling. John Moore's smiling creepily as his purple ascot hits him in the face. Still falling, and oh my God, he started an oil fire apparently. Yeah, he blew up like I guess he was full of uranium, so I guess that makes sense. But yeah, it's a boring fucking ending, and this show could have been cool had they spent some money on it. But luckily HBO came along decades later and was like, you know, let's do this right, and let's make the people care about the robots a little bit. And here it's just robot villain of the week. Oh, they're done. And they die in the most pathetic fucking way. Anyway, that's it for this one. Let's get to the next episode, which is The Lion. So until next time, in the meantime, I'm Phoenix West. So long, citizens. Oh, I gave this episode a 5. Yeah, I gave it a 5. All right, bye.